really just going through my greeting God in the morning. And I always end with, you prepare a table before us. And when I said the word table, the Holy Ghost just come on me. And I said, well, what is it? Talk to me. And he took me on a journey that I'm going to take you on tonight. I don't know if I can get it all done in one message or not. I've taught on the table before. It's not something that you haven't heard to a certain degree, but we're living in a season now where it's really going to come alive even more than it ever has. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Let's just go straight to verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So just like the Lord has a table prepared for you and I, the devil has a table prepared for you and I. And so we see two tables here. We're living in a time when these tables are becoming real obvious. I mean, you know, just probably 20 years ago, you know, some of the devil's tables were kind of hidden. Now it's right out in the open. So we got the Lord's table, and we got the devil's table. Now, when we start looking at this, we're going to see how the world is just feasting off the devil's table, whether they know it or not, whether they know it's the devil's table or not, right? A lot of us didn't know that it was the devil, that we were feasting off the devil's table, right? We knew it was wrong. You know, a lot of stuff we were into and so on and so forth. But now the devil's table is obvious. Now, we're gonna get into this because it's a good thing that the devil's table is obvious, because we want the Lord's table to be obvious. And as long as the devil's table remained somewhat hidden, then people that were looking for the Lord's table ended up sitting at the wrong table. I remember me and Dad Tilton were going out to eat lunch down in St. Pete and this little restaurant on the water. And there's a real good table there that has the view of the water and the dock right there. Mama Alberta and I had eaten there a couple times, you know, and I wanted that table. And when I got there, I noticed, and I got there early, I noticed his car was already there. So I walked in, and there's Dad Tilton right there at that table. I said, well, praise the Lord. And he said, isn't this a beautiful view? I said, this is the table that I wanted for us. He said, well, they just seated me right here. They asked me what my name was. And I told them, Bob. And they said, well, this is your table right here. So we're sitting there, and then Bob walks in. Hallelujah. And the waitress says, what are y'all doing sitting here? Well, the hostess asked me my name, and I told her my name was Bob, and they seated us right here. Wrong Bob. So we got rerouted, but it ended up being better than that. We got outside where he wanted to sit, and it was just a good time. But the point being is that table had already been acquired. It already had been reserved, right? Now, we're going to see some things tonight with this subject of table, because this whole thing about partaking, taking part of the Lord's table and the devil's table, God ain't putting up with it. And there's been a lot of believers that are playing what you've heard preachers call both sides of the fence, right? Straddling the fence, right? God don't want you and I eating nothing, partaking anything off the devil's table. Now, here's what's different about the Lord's table and the devil's table. You walk into a quote-unquote restaurant, and you got this gorgeous table, all decked out, all kinds of food, all kinds of everything on it. And then you got a table over here, ain't got nothing on it. Zero. Now, which table are you going to go to? One with all the 3D. 3D. This is how the devil lures you to his table. Because on the Lord's table, it's unseen. Are you following this? And so, you know, when Eve saw that the fruit, she saw that it was, you know, appealing. Well, she's about to partake, her and Adam, of the devil's table, right? Are you following this? And so, you and I, you know, the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. And when, you know, I remember when I first started getting high, I thought it was the greatest thing around. You know, they showed us movies in sixth grade that, you know, you'd hallucinate if you smoked dope and jump out of a skyscraper and kill yourself and all this stuff. And then when I finally did smoke dope and got high, I laughed. I ate about 10 Snickers bars, and I just had me a good time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Keep your hand down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, right? So, 3D, see, 3D. And then when I saw that girl, 3D, see, and on and on and on. Everything was, being pulled by what I saw and what my flesh wanted, right? The devil still tries to pull on us over into his table. See, just like God has a table prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, who he's in heaven now, she's Japanese, and she's just special. And my sister contacted me and said, "We're having a surprise party for her. Would you come?" I said, "Well, you know, I don't, you know." And they know I don't do much of that. And so as I, you know, laid that up in front of the Lord, Mama Alberta and I, it was, "You need to go. You need to go." Well, if I need to go, then there's something about it. The reason I'm going, not just going just to show up, right? So they're going to have this at a Japanese restaurant. And when we got there, well, not we, Mom Alberta stayed back with Petey and she was doing other things. When I got there, the place is packed. And have you ever had to wait for a table? I don't like waiting for tables. I don't like that. Do you like that? Okay, I'll just make sure I wasn't by myself, you know, cause I, right? And so I walked in, and there they were. They were already waiting for the rest of us to show up, and they already had this private room reserved. And so I thought, well, praise God, somebody's on the ball here. So we go in this private room, and there's 13 of us. Now, you know that number's significant in that that means Jesus is with you, the 12 disciples plus Jesus, right? The world takes it as an unlucky number. See? So we're sitting around this U-shaped table, right? And in the middle are two stoves. And, you know, if you've ever eaten at Japanese place, you know where they cook the food right in front of you, blah, 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 right? And my sister-in-law is sitting right beside me. And my other sister's on this side. So I've got sisters. I mean, I'm with the sisters. And here the guy comes out. And we take up most of that U. But then they bring in another family. I'm like, what's up with that? And they sit them on that other side. So every seat is filled, and you got one table over there, one oven, or what do you call it, stove or whatever it's called. What? Hibachi grill, thank you, Michelle. And the other hibachi grill over here. So you got two chefs, right? And I'm sitting there, and they hand the menu, and I don't know any of it, right? But I got my interpreter right here. You know, she's speaking Japanese to these guys, you know, and I know a little bit of Japanese. Hallelujah. Konnichiwa. Mushi mushi. Hayaku. Akachan. Hai. There you go. And so here comes the chef. Now listen, he comes out, he takes our orders and all this, and all of a sudden my family wants to pray. Now remember, we're on this side. Now all my family, as far as I know, is born again, right? Now I don't know nothing about those people over there, right? And they're over there talking, carrying on. And they weren't being loud or nothing like that. But all of a sudden, the subject of prayer is brought up. And my sister asks her husband to pray. And he says, well, there's the preacher. Right there. So, we all grabbed hands. Now, the other table, remember the Lord's table and the devil's table. I'm not saying they had the devil, but I am saying they didn't respond when we started praying. Because I prayed loud to where they could hear, right? And I opened my eyes. And they couldn't look at me, right? Well, the point being is, we got two tables here, right? And here's what got me out of all this was that chef came out and he took oil. And then, whoosh, fresh oil. I said, I'm on the Lord's table. That fresh oil. He lit it up. See, when God brings fresh oil, he intends to let it burn just like the wise virgins. And then he took that oil all the way around that grill. I said, what's he doing? And he lit it and comes right in front of me. I said, well, okay, hey. We got fire going around this thing, right? But the difference between the tables, we were laughing. We were having a great time. We were reliving some stories, like when my brother-in-law picked up the fish aquarium after Mom told him to empty the water out of it, and he thought she just was saying that because he wasn't strong enough to pick it up when she was trying to tell him, if you pick it up with the water in it, it's going to collapse. That's how it's designed. He picked it up anyways, and fish went all over the living room floor. Those are memorable moments, right? But then the next morning is when the Lord started dealing with me about this table. And, of course, I went back to the night before. That was Sunday evening, right? So tables are very important in our lives. And when you see that the Lord's table is 4D, in other words, you can only see what's on the Lord's table through Revelation. And your menu is the Bible. Have you ever been maybe at a Thanksgiving meal or something, and you made it through the first round? You understand the first round? And something really stood out, and you didn't want everything. You were kind of targeting something that stood out, but it was on the other end of the table. And you couldn't reach it. And you looked at it. And you realized it wasn't going to come to you unless you said something. Folks, there's things that are out of reach on the Lord's table that He'll put in reach if you ask properly, right? Please, this is how we had to say it in the house where I was raised in. Please pass the chicken. You had to say please. Are you following this? Right? And so you had to ask for it, and then it was passed to you. Talking about something that was beyond your reach. And all of a sudden, there was assistance with somebody nearby that got it to where you were. God knows how to get what seems to be out of your reach, but He needs you to ask, and you shall receive, right? And because we're talking 4D here, not 3D, and on 3D, everything, it just looks so easy. It looks so right. It looks so effortless. But on the Lord's table, it's like, I don't see nothing there. But it's there. The Lord said He prepared a table before us in the presence of the devil's table, in the presence of our enemies. In the presence of the devil's table, the Lord's table is prepared. Now you need to really stay with me on this, because where we're going, you're going to see how the world is running to the devil's table. But those that have already been to the devil's table, they want to run away from it and get to, and they don't know what it is, but we know it's the Lord's table. See? Okay. So that's your introduction. You can start your watches now. All right. Let's look at this devil's table first off. We're all on the same page. Go with me over here. Daniel chapter 11. Let's just start there. Daniel in chapter 11. Too many people trying to play both and eat off both tables. Have you ever been in a restaurant and you saw somebody you knew at a different table? And you got up from your table, went over and sat down with them for a while? Right? Right? Might even took something that they had on their table. Hey, try this. Well, we're not supposed to be playing off the devil's table and the Lord's table. Daniel 11. And look at this in verse number 27. It's talking about the wicked. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. They shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. So what we see going on here in the world is the devil's table is being exploited. It's being presented as this is how we are to exist. The reason this fake president won't support Israel is because, not because of Jesus. No. It's because their government is like our government, and that you vote, that you have a Congress, that you have, and see, that has to be eliminated for the one world order. And as long as they are staying in that government structure like we are, and that's why they're trying to destroy our structure here, right? The one world order is put off in the distance, see? And Israel's taking it straight at them. My goodness. And so these negotiations, these things that are being said, they do it at tables. Tables are way more than eating. Matter of fact, before we go any further, and you may come up with more, but 9 different areas of tables. Number one, of course, is eating, right? And so when people think about a table, that's probably the first thing they think about is food, right? Eating, right? But the second one, a table can be where you communicate. Communicate. Thank you. Right? And this can be a conference table. Right? No food. You just go into this table to talk some things out. Now remember, when we're talking about the Lord's table, and the devil's table. And we see right here in Daniel that they're speaking lies at the table. They ain't eating. They're coming up with their own demonic, wicked ways of trying to control through the Babylonian spirits that have tried to dominate the church ever since the church came into existence. Then you have a table where you study, right? How many of you ever study at a table, right? Sure. And then you have a table where you plan. No food. Just where you're going to design something, right? You plan something. And then you can have a table where you work. A lot of carpenters have their table, and machinists have their table. Instead of bending over, they got it up right in front of them where they can work on things, right? Seamstress, you know, they have the table or whatever, Tables just make it more accessible to do whatever. Factories are loaded with tables, right? And I already mentioned a table where you negotiate, right? But then there's a table where you can be examined. The examination table. Don't ask me how I know. Right? I told that doctor, don't touch there. He touched it. I told you, don't touch that. He never touched it again. And then there's the operation table. A table where you can be operated on. You see all these different things for tables? And then a table, a display table. The only purpose for that table is a display. Now, see, God wants to take us through all these tables on his side, and he wants to end up putting you on display. Are you following this? So we're talking way more than eat, right? Okay, we're still looking at the devil's table, all right? They shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. Look at Luke 22. Because a lot of these tables are about to be thrown over. Remember when Jesus went in and threw the money changers' tables over? Right? Right? I mean, he turned the tables over. I mean, that's prophetic. See? And that was in the house of the Lord. You've made it a den of thieves. And so I believe what we're saying, you know, when that Jezebel spirit was confronted the other day and we took authority over that, I believe we're about to see tables turn. You ever heard that terminology? The tables are turned. Right? And a lot of these places that have tried to use the church for their own gain instead of use the church for Jesus's gain, for to advance the kingdom. You know, it's astounding. When I met with my family the other night, one of the family members I've really had to struggle with. I mean, bless God. Hallelujah. And, you know, I really don't even like talking to the individual. And God put this something in my heart that I saw him totally different. And it ain't because I've been fasting and praying or anything like that. It was just boom. It was there. And so we got talking, and he said, started talking about his church. I said, well, what kind of church are you going to? He said, it's a split off from the Methodist church. I said, talk to me. And he said, when they embraced all that homosexuality and so on and so forth, we broke away, and our pastor said, if you want to stay with the Methodist church on that, you go right ahead, but over here we're going to learn the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. And then he said this, you know Chris so-and-so? I said, yeah, I know him. He said to tell you hi. Now, me and Chris worked at the same gas station together, heathens, both of us heathens, got drunk together and, you know, all that stuff. And he said to tell you hi. I said, you go to church? So yeah, now remember, I've been believing for all my family and near friends, right? Said, yeah, he goes to church. Matter of fact, he teaches in church. I said, Chris? He said, yeah, he teaches. When the pastor's gone, he teaches. And even when the pastor's there, he'll teach from time to time. I said, well, praise the Lord. Now, his dad was the one that when I was called in the ministry, I thought, I went to him and showed him John 15:16, what the Lord had shown me, and that audible voice together, and he stopped what he was doing. He said, Philip, you're called. You're called into the ministry. his father affirmed that. And then there's Chris teaching the Word of God. It blessed me. But see, God had to put something in my heart, or I would have missed that. I wouldn't have been talking. And I went, hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. You sit over there. I sit over here. We fine. Didn't work that way. So there's a lot of relationships that are going to really come together as these tables turn. I was glad to see that they wanted to be in a Bible teaching church, right? Hallelujah. So with these tables in Luke 22, we're still looking at the devil's table. In verse 21, but behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. Okay, so we've already seen that the devil's table is a table of lies from Daniel, right? What table are you at? We saw in Daniel 11 that was a table of lies, did we not? Thank you. And here we see the devil's table is a table of betrayal. Now I tell you what, they betray one another. I ain't talking about where you got betrayed. That's where somebody got on your on the Lord's table and betrayed you there. Well, that's what's going on there, right? But on the devil's table is betrayal. It's lying, is betrayal. And if you go to Isaiah, my goodness, I want to get away from the devil's table. Get to the Lord's table. But you need to be aware. Isaiah 28. And look at verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Now watch out. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, folks, I don't want to go too far in that. But this is how the Lord views priests and prophets that are erring from the Lord's table over to the devil's table. You following this? And it says that they're drunk with strong wine, so on and so forth, and it's causing them, the tables themselves, to be full of vomit and filthiness. Now, I've been physically in that place, and it's not a pretty sight. See, all you know, unless you've ever been in that condition, you just have to imagine what that might look like. I've been there, and it's ugly, right? So that's not the Lord's table, that's the devil's table. Full of lies, full of betrayal, full of vomit, see, and filthiness. Now, let's get over here to the Lord's table. Let's get over here where we're supposed to be, all right? Now, remember, when we're talking about the Lord's table, well, let me say this before we go there. You remember how Lazarus was laid at the gate of the rich man? And he was desiring crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. That is the hold that the world dominates with. You know, world hunger could be eliminated easily. There's no shortage of food. There's no shortage of money. It's in the wrong hands. See, God didn't put us on a planet that is insufficient. He didn't put us on a planet that people have to starve to death. No, and live in shacks or whatever. No. That was never God's intention. So the way the wicked rich, that's why it talks about James chapter 5, you've heaped together treasure for the last days, right? You better get ready to howl because your table's about to be thrown over, right? And so the rich, they govern and they control by money. I mean, just think about what's going on with illegal immigrants coming in, and they're given all this stuff while true Americans are, struggling to make, quote-unquote, ends meet. There's no shortage of finances in America. See, it's in the wrong hands. It's in the wrong hands. And so the rich man's table is another demonic table, because we know that the rich man, where'd he wind up? In hell. Not because he was rich, but because he didn't use his riches. He wasn't rich towards God. Remember building greater barns and all that, right? Okay, so in Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9, let's get into the Lord's table. Proverbs chapter 9. Look at this in verse number 1. Are you there? Say hallelujah. Wisdom hath builded her house. Now, how many of you know wisdom is the principal thing? With all thy getting, get understanding, wisdom, right? Wisdom hath built her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She, now who's she there? Wisdom hath killed her beast. Chickens, lambs, pork chops, steaks. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Okay. So now we're at the Lord's table. We're at the Lord's table. And we see that wisdom has furnished this table. Now, if wisdom furnished it, we saw Solomon's table, what wisdom in 3D did. Decked it out to where the Queen of Sheba came and, she couldn't keep up with it, right? The half has not been told. I remember as a kid that on Sundays, it was a big meal. And because we had so many, there would be a table set up in the kitchen itself, plus the counter, which was a long counter. It seated 5, 6, 7. It seated 8. And then we would take the table that was all folded up in the corner, and you'd take it out, and the leaves would come up, and you'd pull, and I think you could put 4 leaves in it, right? And we'd have to set it up in the living room, right? And then bring the chairs all around it. I mean, this is Sunday, right? And I'm just a little fella. And so one of my jobs was to set the table, right? Primarily the silverware, And, you know, my sisters, they took this course on etiquette. They did. They took this course on etiquette. I ain't take no course on etiquette. So they're going to give me a course on etiquette. No, the knife goes on the right side. Spoon goes, and all this, right? And so setting the table was a big deal. And how the table looked. See, if you go to somebody's house and there's no food on the table yet, but you can tell by the way the table is set. I mean, if you go there and it's paper plates and there's a roll of paper towels in the middle, probably having pizza. You know what I'm saying? But if you go there, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. You follow what I'm saying? But, you know, if you got to go there and you're just looking at the table and like, man, it looks good. You know, well then, if they bring pizza out, you'd be kind of like, oh, okay, wonderful. No, you're expecting something more by the table setting. You following this? Have you ever been in a restaurant and had that wobbly table? The wobbly table. First you act like nobody notices it, right? You just want to wish it wasn't there. And then, you know, you go to cut something and bam, the other side like a seesaw. Next thing you know, you're underneath the table with a bunch of sugar packets trying to. How many of you know you probably aren't in a very uppity-up restaurant? Right? Right? Wobbly table. Well, God don't have no wobbly tables. Wisdom. So when it says he hath prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies, wisdom is there. Every answer, every solution, everything that you and I need is already at the table, already been provided at the table. It's there. We got to go to the table. If you just walk by the table and glance at it, well, that's a nice table. Wonderful. No, you got to sit down. And when you sit down, you got to be a partaker of the Lord's table. Now follow this. We ain't talking about communion. You want to just go with communion, you know, then you're not hearing what I'm saying. It's way beyond communion. Thank God for the communion elements. Thank God for his blood and his broken body. We're not making light of that at all. But if you think that's the Lord's table, then you're missing out on wisdom. Has furnished the table. Everything you and I need. Wisdom for your marriage. Wisdom for your business. Wisdom for what God has gifted you and called you for. Wisdom on how to raise your children. Wisdom on every area of your life is at the Lord's table. Over here at the devil's table, they got statistics for you. They got self-help programs. Self-help. Remember when you tried to help yourself? You just went further down. Right? So the Lord's table is just packed full of wisdom. He will give it to you liberally. Now again, when I was in that Japanese restaurant, I didn't ask for no rice. I didn't ask for it. Well, here it come. Wham! This big old plate, half of it. Half of it is this rice. Right? And so everybody's plate's getting slapped with this. Well, now I'm figuring out, okay, this is just what comes with the dinner. And before I know it, my salmon is somewhere underneath there. By the time they got done with slapping stuff on my plate, right? And I had to go digging for it. Now, you go to a French restaurant, you can see your plate. A little dab over here, a little dab over here, a little dab over there. I remember the first time I went to a French restaurant, I'm like, well, is this the appetizer? What's up? Because I'm used to not seeing the plate. No, that's it. That's all you're getting. Oh, it's probably all I needed, but that's beside the point, right? So God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. It's beyond your reach. Please pass the wisdom, and he'll slap it on you. Come on. And it's first peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, right? So we see then that wisdom is on God's table. Now that covers everything. There's nothing left out of the wisdom of God. Nothing. Healing, wisdom. Debt, wisdom. Marriage, wisdom. Everything is supplied by wisdom. It's the one spiritual food that feeds everything. Wisdom. See? Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Are you with me? All right. So that tells us then that the devil's table is goofy, foolish, right? But yet, everything in the seen realm is over there. And you're not seeing it over here unless you're reading the menu properly. How many of you know when you order off the menu and then the waiter leaves and then somebody asks you, what'd you get? Well, I don't know. I have to wait till I see. No, you already say. I got the lamb chops. I got the salmon. You already say, I got... before you ever saw. Come on, somebody. You're already telling somebody. And if you ordered the lamb chops and they bring out salmon and put it in front of you, you say, no, that's not mine. That's somebody else's. Come on. And so what have you sown for? What have you ordered? What's coming your way? If something being slapped down in front of you that you didn't order, well, that's somebody else's. That ain't mine. I know what I ordered. Wisdom. Okay, look at this over here in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, while we're there. Excuse me. Apologize for that. Proverbs 3. Now we're shifting gears here. You ready? Verse number 1. My son, my daughter, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Upon the table of your heart. This is where we get tablet, right? Table. Now, this is powerful now. So, you have a table inside called your spirit man. Well, let me take you one more place here before I go off on this. hold your place in Proverbs and go to Luke. Chapter 1. Remember Zacharias, the father of John? Remember how he couldn't talk? Remember that? And then John was born. Verse 62. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, now watch this, saying. Now, when he's writing, he is saying, oh, good God Almighty. When he was writing, he was saying, his name is Pow. And when he wrote John, before he ever said it, it was a done deal. This is the power of writing on your heart what God had said. God told Zacharias, his name shall be John. Right? So he already knows, but he can't say. But he said it by writing. This is powerful that you understand this, because we can take this 3D physical thing and bring it over in the fourth dimension, where we just read in Proverbs to write it on the table of your heart. Once it's written on the table of your heart, out of the abundance of the table of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks, right? Now, once it's written on your heart, it's a done deal. That's where the devil fights you and I, because once it's written on your heart, it's rhema. It's a done deal. You know that you're healed. Don't make no difference about the pain anymore. Doesn't make no difference how much time has gone by. You know that you're debt-free, living in abundance. Doesn't matter what the checkbook says. Doesn't matter what the business results are, whatever. None of that matters. See, but the devil wants you over on his table saying, hey, I got a shortcut over here. Look here, you don't have to go through all that face stuff. Come on. It's extreme. Who does that? I got this all laid out for you. See, just sign the paper. Hallelujah. Now, while we're in the New Testament, go to 2 Corinthians. Oh, yeah. We're talking about the table of your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 2. 2 Corinthians 3, 2. You are our epistle written where? In our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. Now watch out. Written not with ink, but with or by the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone like the Ten Commandments, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. God writes his wisdom. If you'll pull up to his table, he'll write a prescription for you. Come on now. As you pull up to the table, and he wants to write it on the table of your heart. You know, in politics, My goodness. When somebody doesn't want to do something in the House or in the Senate, they got what they call tabling it. In other words, whoever's in charge, the majority leader, and they're presented with this thing that want to advance and bring it into law, whatever, and he don't like it, he tables it. Tables it means we ain't messing with that right now. See? Are you following this? Well, you and I need to table some stuff in our hearts concerning the wisdom of God for our lives. Folks, is this boring you? Okay. Because we're living in a time when the devil's table is so, so obvious. I mean, even heathen are saying it's wrong. I mean, they're not even born again folk, but they're seeing that ain't right. Come on. They'll say things like, well, I ain't a religious person, but I know right from wrong. And that ain't right. See? So, our table then is presenting our spirit and letting God write on it what he has said. Then you and I, our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So you've already tabled it in your spirit, right? And you now start speaking concerning touching the king. And you start writing your ticket with God. You following this? All right. Now, with that, let's go back to Proverbs. A couple more places. Proverbs 7. Verse 1, my son, my daughter, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. Say unto wisdom, you're my sister. And call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep you from the devil's table. You following that? That they may keep you from the devil's table, that strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. See? Flattery. Now, I said all that to take you to Habakkuk. God has a table prepared for you and I right now in the presence, whatever you're believing God for tonight. Whatever you've sown for, whatever you've been standing on, whatever, I don't care how dismal it may look or how close it is, or even if you've been denied and the door slammed in your face, you at the Lord's table. You at the Lord's table. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to oppose us with. You stay belly up to the Lord's table. Come on now. You stay right there. I ain't moving. In the presence. The enemy table can be over there just shouting, look what we got going on over here. You ain't got nothing on your table. No, you can't see it. How many of you know we got a marriage supper of the Lamb? Amen. Ain't no paper plates there. And no. That table gonna be decked out. The next verse says, no, Habakkuk, I'm sorry. Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at this, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now, you know, certainly, you know, you can write a vision down. You can write it down, you know, write it on a piece of paper down. But you can have it written down on a piece of paper and never have it. But you write it in here. You write that vision in the table of your heart. Then you can run with that thing. You can run through any kind of opposition the enemy tries to bring to you. That's why he hates it when you see something. He hates it when you lock in. When all of a sudden that table that looked like it had nothing on it, you see everything on it. You see your house. You see that vehicle. You see that family. You see, fill in the blank. You see it. And that's what's so important about faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Because when you're hearing and you're allowing God, because what Zacharias had heard, it allowed him to hold on to it all the way until he finally wrote it out. Right? And what God has said to you and I, we can hold on to. Hold on to it. I've held on to things for a long time. Right? And time is going to go by anyways. Hallelujah. But the best is right here. It's our time. It's our time. So don't timetable. And that's why all you have to do is look at the table of contents. Wisdom. Healing. Prosperity. You following this? Hallelujah. Well, that's what I had for you tonight. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Pull up to the Lord's table. That devil's table is lies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That woman came to Jesus, and wanted her daughter healed. And her approach wasn't faith. So she shifted how she approached and Jesus, in so many words, said that healing was for his people. And she said, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. If one glimpse of something even falling off the master's table, and Jesus said, for this saying, go thy way, your daughter's healed. If one crumb from the master's table, from the Lord's table can just totally change a person's life. What could happen if we just pull right up to the table and just feast on what God has for us? See? And there'll be other people at the devil's table. They'll be seeing the good times over at our table. And they'll be asking you for the hope that's within you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that you have prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And Lord, we're not going to make light of that. We're going to partake of that. And I just pray for anybody that may have connected themselves with the devil's table, whether willingly or unwillingly, that they see it and they disconnect from it and they move over to the Lord's table. Now, Lord, wisdom. Let your wisdom fill the hearts and minds of these, your people. I thank you, Lord God, that you write on the table of their heart the wisdom solutions for every area they are in right now in this particular season. And I thank you, Lord God, that they walk in wisdom towards them that are without. They are wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and they are partaking from wisdom liberally in every area of their life. Thank you for that, Lord. Lift your hands, let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go their way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Share the love of Jesus with those around you. We'll see you Friday. Be a blessing.